94.5 WELY, I'm Brett Ross with our weekly Wilderness Update, brought to you by the BWCAW Coalition and funded by Lake County and St. Louis County. And my guest today from Ely Community Resource, Julie Hagnell. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's been a while since we've actually been in studio having a conversation together, mm-hmm. So it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
So you've had a busy summer with ECR.
Yes,
always a busy person, I know that.
Yep, we had a busy summer. Lots of great kids and great activities.
Yeah, it's nice. I've encountered some kids, groups of kids out with Bill Teft, mm-hmm. doing some naturalist lessons out at Hidden Valley, and just a great looking group of kids, and just seems to be having fun as ECR always does. Mm-hmm. One of the programs that you've been working on for I think about 6 years now, mm-hmm. is invasive species detection and training, and involving kids in that process.
Yes, yeah. About 6 years ago, the Burnside Lake Association heard about our eco club that we convened every Wednesday, mm-hmm. in the summertime, and wondered if we would like to be part of their education ideas to inform people about invasive species, mm-hmm. in our area. And it really fit so well with what we were already doing, identifying, macro invertebrates down at Seamers Beach and learning about their life cycles and which ones indicated healthy ecosystems and which ones were red flags, mm-hmm. For unhealthy. And they provided some funding and support for a program that we started on the Burnside Lake, mm-hmm. looking for the invasive spiny water fleas.
Right.
And Ben Gustafson was our first student leader, and he worked on the project for 3 years, and we went out once a week, all during the ice-free season, mm-hmm. and counted the number of spiny water fleas we would find in the water column on three different locations on Burnside Lake. One was the deepest place, one was a medium depth, and the other a shallow depth. And we kept track of the population density and related it to the wind speed and the what might cause fluctuations, the weather, the temperature, mm-hmm. all of those things. And we were supported really well by Lake County Soil and Water and the Forest Service, mm-hmm. and Northern St. Louis Soil and Water as well. So our kids all along have had access to experts in the field and exposure to careers, and it's really been a wonderful part of the program. So we started out with the spiny water fleas, and we also trapped rusty crayfish in the Burnside River.
Sure.
They are invasive and bigger and tougher than our native species, so they're out competing them in many areas.
Yeah.
Listeners might have noticed a lot of them on Fall Lake, Cedar Lake, Shagawa.
For sure.
And we were hoping to prevent them from making their way upstream on the Burnside River to Burnside Lake. So we've been trapping then all the way up to the rapids, which are upstream from the Highway 88 bridge, mm-hmm. Recording their numbers, recording the numbers of indigenous species that we find as well. And we've had a number of students. There's probably been 24 students who have participated in learning about the different species.
That's great.
They record what sex we're finding, and they've learned how to cook them and eat them.
I bet. I was going to say, that's probably about the best thing that can happen with rusty crayfish, is get enough of them to fill a pot.
Yep. In fact, the older kids just a couple weeks ago brought some rusties, and we had a crayfish boil with the K through fifth grade.
Awesome.
Group.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really good. It's been really fun to listen to third graders explain to their parents the life cycle of a spiny water flea, for instance.
Oh, for sure.
And why it's so important to wash our boat out. and make sure that we're not transporting them to a lake that doesn't already have them, you know. So it's pretty cool. We've worked with the Clean Drain Dry program, and I'll never forget the time that we went to see that boat cleaning station, and we got an explanation of how it all works with the temperature required to kill the spiny water fleas, and then we can't put it in the storm drain because it will drain right into the lake, so it's heated up and the water is recycled in this unit. So it was pretty inspiring to hear the kids be able to explain that to their parents.
No kidding. Well, we've talked a lot on this program about invasive species. That's kind of the core of what we've been talking about over the course of this summer, and the importance of stopping the spread of invasive species into the boundary waters and just from lake to lake in general. But what a fascinating way to go about it, to get kids engaged in actual scientific method of gathering data and doing that hands-on research, to, you know, number one, just spark that interest in science and natural resources, but also just as an education piece for those kids to be educated themselves, and they can educate other people, including their parents and people close to them.
Yeah. And Ben, our first student leader, you know, stayed with the project for 3 years, and in his senior year, he wrote a paper about his spiny water flea research, and we went to the statewide symposium on invasive species. It's a gathering once a year, it's been in St. Cloud, it's been in the Twin Cities more often, and he presented his paper and made all of the visual materials just like the university students who were presenting their papers.
That's
he was
great.
The only high school kid. So there's all kinds of opportunities here with support from the community like we've had. Mm-hmm. The school has started a science club, and with them involved, they've helped us with a plankton study.
Okay.
We've gotten samples of lake water delivered by Darren Lilia for 2 years, and the kids are looking through the sample and cataloging the different species of plankton, mostly zooplankton, that we're finding in Shagawa, and we've done fall and birch. And what we're looking for is just to develop this database so we understand who's living where, and we can learn from other resources how they interact with each other. And then if big changes happen, as we're looking at this longitudinal data over years of time, we might be able to help to identify a problem or solve a problem even. So that's been pretty fun. And just now we've received a large grant from the Midco Foundation so that we will have one of those fancy microscopes that can project what we're seeing on the slide so that more than one person can see it.
Great.
So we're looking forward to developing that program even further with our own equipment. So,
well, and it's such a key piece to understanding the effect of invasive species to just have that catalog of evidence of what you're finding, of analyzing the zooplankton and seeing the changes in that from week to week, year to year. Can you talk about what some of the biggest changes you've seen, one of the biggest impacts you've seen over the course of doing this in the last 6 years?
Well, we have been working with Dr. Brandstratter at UMD about the population density and growth and, what affects the growth of the population of spiny water fleas. Because he's working with Lake Superior populations, and that's where we think the spiny water fleas came from, mm-hmm. in Burnside River, or Burnside Lake, excuse me.
That likely a boat that was in Lake Superior, yes. brought the spiny water flea to Burnside Lake.
Yep, mm-hmm. and they originated in Northern Europe, mm-hmm. and came over in ballast water, mm-hmm. And they're prevalent in Lake Superior. Cold, mm-hmm. deep water seems to be what they prefer. Mm-hmm. So Burnside
is fits the bill of Burnside for sure.
Yeah, yep. And then we've also found them now, or fishermen have found them in Basswood.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's part of that same chain, that it's all part of that same watershed from Burnside, so it's kind of a natural course for it to travel.
Yeah, yep. And I have yet to find anybody who has a, you know, great explanation for how did they get to Basswood, which mm-hmm. is not a lake that a boat that, you know, would have gone from Lake Superior to Basswood.
Yeah, right.
So, so one of the theories is that Shagawa, which is downstream of Burnside, mm-hmm. and Fall are shallower and they're warmer,
mm-hmm.
and then they might have washed through to the colder water in
Basswood. So they're not necessarily taking hold in Shagawa or Fall, but they're moving
yeah,
downstream.
There's
so to speak.
Definitely fewer of them in yeah. those warmer, shallower lakes.
Sure, sure.
So the kids are working right alongside the UMD professors who aren't sure we understand everything about spiny water fleas.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the nature of science, is always trying to understand more and, you know, poke holes in theories and continue asking questions, but also keep gathering as much data as you possibly can. So what a fascinating thing to get young people involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And I mean, they're making connections with mm-hmm. just being out and noticing, like, the river level, mm-hmm. the Burnside River. We have pictures of every week.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a rock on the Burnside River upstream of Highway 88 Bridge mm-hmm. that's kind of famous. It was in a painting or a photograph that hung at the Grand Ely Lodge for many years.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still there, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyway, we have pictures of it every week this summer, and the change in the water level is just astonishing.
Even imagine. Yeah, it's been a really rough year for water.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm. Well, what an exciting program, and fascinating approach to getting kids involved in the study of aquatic invasive species. And, you know, it's such an important piece to our quality of life here and our natural resources here in the Northland.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, thanks so much for all the work that you do with the youth of our community. You are, as I've said before, you're an amazing shepherd for our kids here. and you have a real gift for it, and it's exciting to hear the work that you're doing, especially when it comes to the invasive species and water quality.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to some updates.
Okay.
Maybe later on, maybe towards the end of the summer season, we can talk again and kind of check in and see how the kids have been doing and what you've learned over the course of this year.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Thanks so much. Julie Hignall from Ely Community Resource. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Our Wilderness Update is brought to you by the BWCAW Coalition in partnership with federal, state, nonprofit, and business organizations to prevent the introduction of aquatic invasive species into the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. This is the End of the Road Radio, WELY.